You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time for our weekly sight loss story, where we get to find out about people's individual sight loss journey, because no sight loss journey is certainly the same. Joining us today is Jane Manley. Jane, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello.
So to start with, can you tell us a little bit about kind of your sight condition, how you got diagnosed?
Well, I have retinopathy of prematurity, which is an eye condition that affects babies who are born prematurely when the blood vessels in our retina are still developing. Now, I'm a 60s baby, got to hold my hand up. And at that stage, doctors were realizing that the way oxygen was being used in neonatal care played two major roles. So if they gave too much, they recognized it was actually damaging the eyes. But obviously, if they gave too little, it's putting my life as a premature baby at risk. So that's basically how it starts. So too much oxygen in my case damaged my retina and other blood vessels in my developing eye. But as survival rates of premature babies has improved, ROP has re-emerged a little more, because obviously very early infants are naturally more vulnerable. And today, although it still occurs, because there's still that balance that they've got to get right with oxygen use, it can be detected much, much earlier now, and it can be treated to protect a baby's sight. So there are far less premature babies now whose sight is damaged in the way that mine is. So I've been left with no sight in my right eye and in my left eye, if you imagine it as a rectangular piece of paper. I've got the lower left quartiles, about 25%, which is relatively good at picking out shadows and movement, but obviously only if that little bit is somewhere where that is happening.
Moving on now to adapting to life with sight loss, you know, it's always quite a tricky one, you're growing up with it. So what did you find helped you the most to adapt to sight loss throughout your life?
Really just the way that my family treated me. So they didn't wrap me in cotton wool. They always helped create workarounds. So obviously as a child, when you're growing up with little to no sight in a family that's entirely sighted and has never known any type of disability, it was a bit of a shock for them. But they just decided that I would be taught to have a can-do attitude. I remember particularly my grandmother. She used to push me out the gate at the bottom of her garden into a big playing field and, you know, tell me to go play with other children. And then I still was expected to be back home for tea when it was served. So I think it's just that. It was the support of others, the workarounds that they created in my young life that helped me become a brilliant problem solver as I grew. And someone who they created in me, someone who was prepared to take the challenge and not be frightened of things. I think that was really important too.
You have quite an interest in fashion, is that correct?
Love my fashion. So again, it's just one of those areas where you don't expect someone without usable sight to be involved. But there are so many people, and especially younger people, coming up through the world of arts, design, who have little or no sight, but have a passion for creating things, who think visually in colour. I know as a child, you know, you have some sense of colour. Red is dangerous and hot, and blue is calm, and green is natural. So you learn about colour, even if you don't see it. But there are so many people. I mean, some of your listeners might remember Lucy Edwards walking the Copenhagen catwalk couple of years ago. And the way in which that was presented to me as someone attending that fashion show was we had a swatch box blocks of fabrics, and Lucy was wearing very stiff waxed cotton. So when you're hearing the description of what the outfit looks like, and in your hands you're feeling that stiff wax cotton creating those very severe lines, it becomes so much easier to understand what she looks like, what she's wearing. And that in turn for me is something that creates a sense of, right, that's the style I want to have, that's the me I want to present to the world. You know, if you're going to stare at me because I've got a guide dog or a long cane, I might as well look stunning. That's the way I approach it.
Well, that's really wonderful. And it's good to actually hear from people, like you say, from people with sight loss who, you know, to show that actually you can still be into these things regardless of your sight loss. Now, to finish off, Jane, what would be your advice for people who, you know, are new to sight loss and, you know, are looking for any tips they can get as to, you know, how to adapt? What would you say to them?
I think the key thing is, remember, you have not changed. So the passion you have for things, the person you are, the humour you have, whatever it is that makes you you, is still there. Sight loss doesn't rob you of yourself, but you've got to be a little more out there so that people around you remember that. Don't let them treat you as someone who can't. Show them that you still can, but you might just need to can a different way.
Fantastic, Jane. A very good message to end on. Thank you very much, Jane Manley, for sharing your sight loss story with us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.